We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. I was just about to go to the Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page to see how the voting is breaking down because I need to start working on the next radio documentary, and the Robert Hyland being the first one of a series. And the next one, I haven't decided if it's going to be Jim White or John McCormick. And based on listeners here tonight, it's split. They could go either way, it sounds like. So we could take some of your calls on that vote this hour from Fox and Friends Weekends. He's one of the co-hosts. Pete Hegseth is going to join us, and he's the author of American Crusade, Our Fight to Stay Free. Had a good conversation with him earlier today, and I want to play that for you. And it actually, he was a great interview. I'm looking forward to playing that for you. Also, our friend Brad Young from Hairstyle Fisher & Young, the Supreme Court blocking some of the grand jury materials, and also here in St. Louis, a judge blocks Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner from paying outside law firms. So a couple of different legal issues that are going on. He's going to explain those to us. Joining us, the phone lines are open. We got 314-436-7900 ready for you, if you want to call it, like Chris has been holding on. Welcome to Overnight America, Chris.
What's up there, my main man?
Hey.
Well, so, Ryan, on last night's show, man, if this were a baseball game, you would have hit three grand slams. I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, you scored a 50.
You enjoyed it that much?
Yeah, I got back to the trailer here last night. I guess about 11:25. I sat out in the driveway until Bob Costas was finished talking. The guy's so smart, and I mean, you know, he asks great questions. I like what Mike Anderson asked, and it resonated well. I mean, and I want to put a vote in for John McCormick. I'm no slight to Jim White, but
yeah,
I'll tell you that old radio voice just is timeless. It's like the old Twilight Zone episodes. I'm just more of a retro guy, I guess. I like old stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, you know, John McCormick was there at the very start of At Your Service, and he actually was recording and doing commentaries for those. And he, I think his very first commentary, the day that At Your Service launched on February 29th, 1960, was explaining exactly how the radio station was about to change. Fantastic commentary. If I were to make a special, that's how I would start it. So I got a lot of great John McCormick things and a lot of great stories to share with him. Both of those specials, I'm sure, will turn out just fine. I really thought that tonight people would call in overwhelmingly suggesting Jim White because, you know, this is Jim White territory, but a lot of John McCormick fans.
Well, Ryan, Jim White has his moments, but I just have to give the nod to John McCormick, but I didn't listen to John or Jim, a ton, but I have listened to Cam Walks Overnight for, you know, a good number of years, going way back with the late Dan Kelly and his, calling the Blues games. But Cam Walks has got the lion's share of my, you know, just I've listened to different talk radio, but I, Camel X has got the lion's edge here. But and I would say hi to my beautiful daughter Justina. She's in the other room listening to the radio. She wanted to hear me on the phone. But
Do you want to say or how about this? Tell us an embarrassing story about her.
Oh, I know. Well, no, I can't think of anything embarrassing. I'm just, I'm just grateful to have her as my daughter, and she's the light of my life. So,
did you have like a special nickname you called her as a baby?
I guess she won't get mad. I call her Sweetie Pie.
Aw, Sweetie Pie.
Right. I mean, she's my. She's my only child, so she's just that special. So, but
no, that's great.
But your little guy, your son, he steals the show with his little antics and his singing. So, I just
thank you for that.
Yeah,
all right, Chris.
Sure.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the special. And as I mentioned before, and anyone listening right now, they are going to re-air that special. As it turns out, Memorial Day, this upcoming Monday, Charlie Brennan is off, so they're going to air it from 9 to 11 during the day, which is pretty neat.
Well, I want to hear it because that'll be before I go to work. I got to work Sunday and Monday, but, you know, try to earn some extra money. But I can't wait to whatever you have in the works for that next special. But you killed it, man.
Thank you. Thank you. And if you like that one, you're going to like all of them. So I'm looking forward to putting them together. Thank you very much, Chris. Good to hear from you.
All right, Ryan. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
So it was Sweetie Pie, huh? see, no embarrassing stories. But, you know, every parent has a nickname for their kid, which is just too much. Talking about nicknames, you remember this moment last night from the one and only Bob Costas?
He threw the letter down. He slammed his fist on the table and he said, "Bob, the boogeyman has gone too far." And the next day, the boogeyman was on the street.
Too good. It's just too good. What does daddy sound like?
Oh.
What do I say when I'm on the radio?
Blah, blah, blah.
Is that what I sound like?
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yes. That's all blah, blah, blah.
Oh, man, he's got it down. He has it down to a T. Joining us next, we could take some more of your calls, but what I want to do is play our interview that something I recorded a little bit earlier in the day from Fox and Friends. You probably recognize him. He's one of the co-hosts on the weekends. He's also a contributor to Fox News. It's Pete Hegseth. He's going to join us. Talk about his new book called American Crusade. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Joining us now is a contributor to Fox News, also co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend, and a new book getting some great reviews online, American Crusade, Our Fight to Stay Free. Pete Hegseth, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Ryan, thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is neat. I go online and I look at the rave reviews. You're doing well. The book is out now. And I got to imagine you wrote this in a non-COVID-19 world. I'm wondering if any of your perspectives have changed since then.
Only been fortified. You know, I did. I turned the manuscript. I think there's one mention of coronavirus in there, which I added at the very end, right as this was at the beginning in the context of China. Otherwise, totally outside of this context. And the title of the book is American Crusade, but the subtitle has become more important, Our Fight to Stay Free. I mean, here we are, and the idea of American Crusade is it's a holy war for the righteous cause of human freedom. And why do I say holy war? Because you have to know where our rights came from. And of course, our founders wrote them down in the Declaration. Our rights are endowed by God, not by government or a governor, which is what we're learning right now. Governors don't get to choose which rights you get to exercise in the First Amendment or the Second Amendment. Yet we're seeing people who are more or less apolitical, but just business owners and want to be open, starting to rebel against this. So it's been an education moment for people. And here we are with the summer coming, with Father's Day coming. And I hope people take a look at American Crusade because listen, I don't pull any punches. It's unvarnished. It's honest. It's where I was politically, how I've changed, where the left is today. in light of how they resist Donald Trump and what we need to do to, you know, crusade to come alongside him and save our country.
Yeah, and you're right about that, too. You talk about the government, but you also look at the landscape of news media on some of the networks, and you have certain people that would advocate for freedoms, advocate for the protections that are held in the Constitution, those that are given by God. And then there's some that advocate that, no, we know what's better for you. we can tell you how to better manage your life. You need to listen to us. And it's a scary thing that I think a lot of people are waking up to.
It's true. I mean, it's kind of that one size fits all lens that leftists generally have, because their view, they're generally, it's run by elites from ivory towers. I've spent time in colleges with these people who are generally condescending to regular folks, to deplorables, to forgotten men and women. And from that view, they say, we know better than you. We're smarter than you. So here are the solutions. And they're one size fits all. That's one view of the world from the left. The other view, which I believe is our founding view, which is a freedom view, is the only one size fits all that fits you is you. Is your choices and your world and your business and your risk tolerance and the choices you want to make. So in this moment, yes, leaders can give us guidelines, and they did, and we're happy to be responsible to help slow the spread. Those first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, got it. Make sure the hospital isn't overflooded. But then from there, we can all make choices about our own health, our own medical background, our own age, our own risk tolerance to decide if we're willing to go out or reopen our business. But the one size fits all mentality says, no, you're shut. You're shut down because you're not essential, or you're essential from on high, without any understanding of what people are actually facing. And the president has said it for months now. The cure can't be worse than the virus. And we're starting to reach where I'd say we're past that territory.
Yeah. And that was something that Mike Rowe mentioned in one of his commentaries, the whole idea that there's, well, 30, almost 40 million people that have either lost or furloughed jobs, and they're being told they're non-essential. What does that talk about to the mentality of how people look at work in general and those trying to keep things closed down? Joining us now is the author of American Crusade. By the way, on Amazon, number one bestseller in the government category, Pete Hegseth joining us. And I wanted to read one of the reviews on Amazon to get your reaction to it. The review is very negative, bitter, insulting, and offensive book. Well written, but so what?
Hey, at least they're honest. I mean, listen, I I'm really blunt about the left, and if he's a liberal, he's not going to like the book. But he at least knows I'm being honest, and thank you for the well-written comment. I will take that. Usually they say, and it's poorly written. I did pour myself in to try to make the arguments clear, to make the book interesting. And you know, part of the reason he's not going to like it is a lot of people write books that say, okay, here's how we can come together, and here's what we can agree on, and here are the common threads. And this book is, listen, if you're a leftist, you've already decided that you're anti-American because your views are antithetical to the founding principles of our country. And so our job as freedom lovers and patriots is to defeat you, is to win in the political realm, in the cultural realm, in the educational realm, because our ideas are better. So sometimes there isn't room for compromise, and that's one of the points that I make in the book. So he probably didn't like that part of it. But, you know, deep down somewhere, I bet he read something that's got him thinking a little bit.
Good. And I saw online, this was a recent headline on Fox News, and it mentioned that you were almost a never-Trumper. So when you go back to 2016, 2015, I remember what that was like. I supported Ted Cruz. I really wanted to see him become the nominee. And it got really heated there for a while. It made it sound like the only way Ted Cruz could find himself on a path to become the candidate is that you had to reject Donald Trump, as opposed to finding some of those common things. And I was wondering what your path was like to become almost a never Trumper.
Yeah, that is chapter two. Yeah. I mean, the first line of chapter two in my book is, hi, my name is Pete Hegseth, and I was almost a never Trumper. And I tell my story because I think it's just reflective of how so many people felt. Like you, I wanted the silver-tongued conservative to just crush the Obama years and quote de Tocqueville and Bill Buckley and, you know, the Federalist Papers and Ronald Reagan and just steamroll into the White House. And instead, Donald Trump showed up and he sort of blew up the whole game, but for all the right reasons. And it took a lot of us a while to figure it out. Listen, my wife saw it right away. She was Trump from the beginning. It took me time to get there. And through this chapter, I write about that change in mindset, which is, I wrote a book 4 years ago, which is similar to this book, but much more tepid. And I think this book is a reflection of what Donald Trump has taught us, to grow a Trump spine, to see something and say something. And that conversion, I talk about my Trump conversion moments, were about how far the left has gone, the stakes of our country, that this is about, this is not about left versus right. This is, do you love America or not? Do you believe in borders or not? Do you believe in socialism or capitalism? Are you a globalist or an America first person? It's basic core principles. That's what Trump showed us. So yeah, it's a confession that I wish I didn't have to make, but thankfully I never crossed that Rubicon. And instead, like the, you know, converts are mostly the most, are usually the most zealous ones because they know why they came to it. I'd count myself as one of those.
You know, one of the very start when they start to send the emails out and saying, oh, we have Pete Hegseth available to do interviews, they say you're an old school patriot. I was hoping you can define what an old school patriot is.
Well, I think an old school patriot is one who looks back at what built this country and appreciates it and doesn't fall for the latest whims or the latest trends of I mean, what's cool and what's easy to do, right? So it's gritty citizenship. It's toughness. It's encouraging men to be men and women to be women. It's, you know, it's politically incorrect in the current view, but entirely grounded in the constitutional and the declaration view of America. So you old school in that, listen, I think we should have civics. I think we should teach English and have English as an official language. I think we should put God back in our schools and be unafraid that there's no separation. There's no freedom from religion. It's freedom of religion. I think values are important. So it's kind of old school in the sense that all this new crap that the elites are ramming down our throat, and then they're still saying, oh, but we love America. It's like, no, you've rejected it. And there's some old school ways to get back to it. And I kind of take that and break it down to remind people who, through political correctness, we all fall into it every once in a while. Oh, I can't say that anymore. Oh, man, I guess we've moved past that. Or, you know, I guess just to be nice, I'll do this. Or I don't want to get in trouble, so I won't say this. And I think Trump has created the space for us to reject this prison of political correctness and instead just speak our minds. And the left's going to call you names. Man, they call me names. They call you names. All of us names. But that's because we're close to the target and they don't have anything to defend.
Yeah. You know, people look to be offended. They really are disappointed when someone has a free thought. The expression and the ability to express yourself through ideas and have conversations is something that gets lost a lot of times on the left. Not for everyone, and there are people I really disagree with, but, you know, you can look at some that you could say 95% of the time I disagree, but at least Bill Maher will say something and stand up for freedoms and be able to expand up for free expression and call out those that are trying to squash that. I'm curious, do you ever make it to the Midwest?
I'm from Minnesota originally.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I born and raised. I'm in the Midwest all the time because Fox and Friends sends me out to do these diner segments in the morning. Listen, it's where I'm from. It's, I think, where the common sense wisdom emanates from. So I love the Midwest.
I think it's great. And I know you can't pick what's on your Wikipedia page, but the photo is great with the giant government, big government sucks sticker. That's a very appropriate.
Yeah, of all the pictures they could have put up of me, I'll take that one.
That is a good one. Now, the book is doing really well. Like I mentioned, number one in the government section right now on Amazon.com. And if people wanted to check out the book, check you out, where can they go?
Yeah, anywhere books are sold. There is a backlog on the book right now at Amazon. It's temporarily out of stock, but you can order it and it'll get out just like a lot of the things we're ordering these days on Amazon. But you can go to Barnes & Noble. There's still in stock editions. You can go to Premier Collectibles, which has signed versions. And then you can also go to FoxNation.com, which is something I'm involved with at Fox. And if you get a year subscription to Fox Nation, which is a great deal and a really cool streaming service, you get a signed copy of my book as well. So there's a bunch of places you can still get it.
Oh, that's cool. Did you voice your own audiobook?
I did. Yes.
That's cool.
So that was fun. It was two long days in an audio booth, but you rediscover your book. You know, you wrote it months and months before, and now you're involved in trying to get it launched, and then you get a chance to read it again, and it reintroduces you. It's fun.
I don't know if it's like that for you, but I could do, you know, I do five shows a week, and if someone were to say, hey, what did you talk about three nights ago? I couldn't tell them. I just completely. So being able to go back, read your book over again, and put all of that different work into voice and express it that way, that's got to be pretty awesome.
It is that you just said it correct. You said it perfectly. Whoa, I forgot I did that. Oh, thank goodness I included that. And I kind of highlighted it as I went so I could think about the things I wanted to emphasize when I was promoting it, when it came out to launch. So yeah, it's nice when you reread it and you're not ashamed.
Oh,
that's always
so cool.
A bonus. Yes.
Fox and Friends, co-host on the weekends, also contributor. You get around, you travel, you can find the book online on Amazon. You can go to his website. Pete Hegseth, thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed our time here tonight.
Thank you. Likewise. My pleasure.
And he joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Oh, look at that. Aw. Producer Ben's favorite song. We haven't heard this one in a while. Welcome to Overnight America. You can look us up on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. And it's songs like this that really make the night. No, leave it up. Let's hear it.
Beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash from my laboratory in the castle east to the master.
Welcome back. Oh, that's so neat. If any politician were to play that at one of their rallies, it would be my guaranteed vote. They would have earned it. Monster mash. Oh, it's been too long. It's never a bad time to play Monster Mash. It is a Memorial Day weekend. We'll still be on Sunday night, Monday night, so we'll be here with you. If you want to reach out on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. If you want to call into the show, you can too at 314-436-7900. A few things I wanted to get to. Joe Biden's vice president shortlist emerges as we now know at least one of the names that is getting serious consideration, Amy Klobuchar. Ooh, what? That's my first reaction when I heard that. Amy Klobuchar. What? Now, online, she was not trending. You know who was trending? Tim Kaine. Now, if you remember, Tim Kaine also ran as a vice presidential candidate with Hillary Clinton, and everyone looked at that and said, well, he pretty much offered nothing. Like, he didn't really bring much to the table. They almost lost his state. He almost lost his own state. So on Twitter, everyone was saying, Amy Klobuchar is the Tim Kaine vote, and they weren't happy. How would you like to be the person that may be getting consideration, and then you look online and you're getting made fun of as the Tim Kaine of this election? I don't think that's going to look good. In fact, if you are the if you're the Biden team and you realized, oh, this is how they're reacting to it, I'm not going to get much of this. And we actually talked to on Mondays. When we go through and we look at some political history, we try to get a grasp on what has happened in the past. And because of that, American Politics on the Rocks author joins us, Rich Rubino. And he mentioned Amy Klobuchar and some of the names that have emerged from it. And if I remember correctly, he said that Amy doesn't really bring much strategically. You can't see her becoming the vice presidential pick. There could be many better people that could be picked by Joe Biden. So that's a strange one to me, to say the least. But then again, maybe she can sing back up to the Joe Biden song. I mean, honestly, if you got a song like this, you need someone that could do a little backup.
I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun, in the sun.
That's blonde.
Come rub my legs from the morning until the day.
That's my Amy Klobuchar impersonation. It's actually really bad.
Day's done. So the day's done.
We are at the end here.
I got hairy legs. Hairy legs. Yeah. That's right. You heard what I said. You heard what I said. I got hairy legs.
Yeah, man.
Watch the hair come back up again. I'm the guy with the best chance to win.
Time is a thing.
Oh, man. Too good. Too good. So that's where we're at right now, and it goes to show you, it's really a surprise to see that name on there. It's a short list, so it doesn't mean that she will become, but it does mean that she's being vetted, meaning they could be looking into her background and anything else that could be inside of it. Now, with Minnesota, the Biden campaign will undergo the formal vetting consideration process. We'll see where that leads it. Doesn't necessarily mean, like I mentioned, that it could actually be the next candidate. You know, it's an interesting little spat with the media. I thought this is worth replaying. And if you are someone that pays attention, you may have seen this. Down in Florida, Governor DeSantis had a rant. And when I say rant, had an awesome rant that was just going off and saying, hey, we've been handling this just fine here in the state of Florida. I think you owe us an apology of all the things that you said about us when it came to this coronavirus. So we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's go to Scott, who's calling in first. Welcome to Overnight America, Scott.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Good to hear from you. My theory about this whole thing about Joe Biden staying in his library down there and, you know, books that his wife has to pick out for him and stuff and read. And but I see this way, that Joe Biden, he already admitted he's going to pick a female vice president, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever you're going to do. What my situation is, and I've heard this before, is there'll be a tearful Joe Biden after the second week of him being president saying, oh, poor Joe, he can't finish out this. You know, he is all over the place. He needs some help, and he's going to have to step down. And therein lies your first female president.
You really think that would be what happens here?
I do believe that our first female vice president will be because of Joe Biden if he does win. If he was to win the election. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's the way it would go down. That doesn't mean you have much confidence that Joe Biden is capable of completing a full term. You think that there
no,
could be something
I,
that
I do believe he's not capable of completing a first term. There are a lot of Republicans also, too. They consider themselves Republicans that probably won't vote for, you know, in the corona. But you're going to get a first vice president who becomes president, which will be a woman, and they will come up with this, which they already have some certain situation in medicine that will, she's going to be the hero. She'll be the first president. She's going to step in the shoes of Joe Biden. If that was to happen, now I really do believe in my own heart of hearts that I believe that Trump will be reelected. It's very hard to beat an incumbent, very, very hard to beat an incumbent president. But I do believe that's the way it would work. Joe Biden would be voted in, and a tearful Joe Biden will say, poor Joe can't finish out his situation. He's been in for 6 months, and he's having some troubles with his memory, and he's having some troubles with whatever. And therein steps your vice president.
That would be such, to me, an unlikely thing, mostly because through the trouble of you running. I think that you would have to step aside before you got to the general election. I mean, there would have to be some unforeseen medical issue for a president to step down, or legal issue or scandal or something like that. But even then, I think everything that they're throwing at it right now with this upcoming election, I think it would happen before the election.
Well,
now,
here's my answer back to you. Everybody said that Trump was deranged. He is mentally insane. He's there are a lot of people that said Trump has got mental issues that are very serious. Now, if you listen to Joe Biden, though, I mean, come on, right?
And, yeah, his issues are different. So they just don't like the way Donald Trump thinks. But Biden, it's there could be some issues. And, you know, that same card was played during the 2016 election with Hillary Clinton's health, and there were some serious concerns. I mean, how many different videos did you need of her not being able to go up a flight of stairs, you know, unattended?
You're exactly right.
And these other things, too, of just walking around and needing, you know, bodyguards on each side to
And that's exactly. But therein lies the problem. They said that about Hillary Clinton. They said that about Donald Trump. Joe Biden does, if you listen to him, have some issues. And I am not saying that in a bad way. He just can't remember some of the places he is. He doesn't know what time it is. He doesn't even know he's probably in his library. right now.
You don't think so.
And I don't mean to be that in a bad way. Yeah. Joe Biden might be the greatest guy on earth, as far as I know. I don't know Joe Biden. But I could see the first woman president becoming the vice president of Joe Biden.
Yeah, for me, that type of criticism for Joe Biden, I can look at it, and it doesn't disqualify him as a candidate. Some people think that it's a more serious issue. I really don't see it as a serious issue right now.
You're right.
Well, that's the thing. That's what they're going to throw at it, and basically that's what they want to do. They want to be able to have something, some card to play until there's something more serious to bring up, I guess. And, you know, there could be some very serious issues with Joe Biden. We're pretty far out. I mean, all things considered, you would think November would be around the corner, but we're still pretty far out. Anything can happen, but there's some much more serious
criticism. And I don't even know if
Joe Biden
really is. He's doing that on purpose, or he could battle. I don't see him battling Trump on stage and having, being that kind of person, that can fight him on stage. But if he does get elected, I do see, this is just my opinion. It has nothing to do with anything else. But I do see a vice president who's a woman that he already said he's gonna pick a woman as a vice president, which is fine. But I do see our first president that's a woman being the vice president first. And that's all.
Okay. Thank you very much, Scott. Good to hear.
Okay,
from you.
Sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, but the medical issues with Hillary Clinton, they were pretty substantial bits of evidence that started to come forth. They tried to pull that on Donald Trump. And just even recently, what did Nancy Pelosi called him? Morbidly obese. Ugh, roll your eye when you hear a Nancy Pelosi throwing stones like that. What did Tucker Carlson say? Those who have a glass face shouldn't throw stones. Yeah, and this is the thing. The whole idea that there are some Democrats that feel like they need to tough talk like a Donald Trump in order to be in the game, they're being exposed very quickly that they're not good at trash talking or tough talking. Now, if Joe Biden tries to do something like that at a debate, he's going to get walked over. He's going to look terrible because Donald Trump, you're playing his game. You're not going to be able to out tough talk a Donald Trump on this sort of scale. I will say this, though. I thought for sure during the last election, the 2012 election, when it was Joe Biden going up against Paul Ryan, I thought Paul Ryan was going to wipe the floor, but Joe Biden did great in the vice presidential debates. So maybe he's just so well prepared he can. But now you go back and look at some of the Democratic debates that he was involved in. He didn't look all that great. I mean, he had a couple of moments, but he didn't look all that great. It would be interesting to see the two of them go toe-to-toe at these debates. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of cheap shots. But if you're going to try to cheap shot at Donald Trump and think you're going to out-cheap shot him, you're not going to win in that strategy. But either way, it's difficult to compete against a guy like that can command a crowd and get the reactions. So maybe he thinks he has to on that level. I want to play the governor from Florida's comments coming up in a moment. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
We have our patriotic song of the night that I'm looking forward to bringing you, and I keep a rotation of songs, and we're ready to restart the rotation, which means I can't believe I'm still working from home and we've already gone through two rotations of songs. How did that happen? So we're going to bring you our patriotic song of the night. It happens to be my favorite one by Ray Charles, America the Beautiful. And we'll do that in just a couple of minutes. So recently there has been a comment from Florida Governor DeSantis. And the idea was, hey, you guys, pointing to the media, have gotten Florida wrong all along. Where's my apology? He's waiting for it. And he did a lot of right things. And then you look over at the state of New York, who did an awful lot of wrong things. And he, Governor DeSantis in Florida, took the opportunity to point out that, guys, you got it wrong.
Our data is available. Our data is transparent. In fact, Dr. Birx has talked multiple times about how Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun. And part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks. Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy, wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that. And
I might have to play the rest of this after the hour because we do need to get to our patriotic song. Good old Ray Charles, America the Beautiful. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Our heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved. Singing something like this. Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains. Majesties. Look here, I'm talking about America, sweet America.
Really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.